If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Romeliotis. Blackhawks fall to the Blue Jackets 3-2. Hawks put some pressure on them, though, in that third period, outshooting them 9-3, especially at the end on that last power play. But they can't get it done. Now a five-game winless skid for the Blackhawks, and now they get 2 days off to regroup before San Jose comes in on Monday. This is the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. We'll bring in Charlie now. And Connor Bedard, he had that open net, and you could tell he was upset he missed it. And they kind of got it going there on the power play. It's still a problem. They got it there going at the end, but just couldn't cash in, and then they pull the goalie, and it gets out of reach.
I was watching Connor Bedard after he just sailed one over the net. I mean, he had the entire net to work with, but it was a rushed shot because it wasn't like he had time to kind of settle the puck down and fire it off, because it looked like Merzlikins was about to dive because as soon as he was going to regain control of it. And unfortunately, the puck just sailed, and I was watching Connor Bedard, and he just looked straight down at the ice.
I saw him slam his stick right after.
He put both of his hands on his helmet, like, how did I just miss that? Skates to the Blackhawks bench, does the same thing, puts his hands back on his helmet a second time, and then he put his head down on the bench just, like, in complete disbelief that he missed it. And, man, it just feels like that's how things have been going for the Blackhawks lately, particularly on the power play. I mean, the Hawks are now 0-26 on the man advantage in their last 10 games. I mean, now there's definitely unluck that's there. Like that, I thought they were really generating chances in that final minute of that power play in the third period. Not able to cash in. But boy, I imagine Connor Bedard is going to lose sleep over that, because I thought his line played so well tonight with Frank Nazar and Teuvo Teravainen. But the missed opportunity on the power play again, I think, is what, again, there were other factors that went into this game, but
yeah.
I identify that power play. It's like, that, man, it just has not been clicking, and it's been game changers that if you just score, like the Hawks had five the other night against the Minnesota Wild. Like, if they score on any of those five, the Hawks probably win that game.
Yeah.
You know, last night against the Penguins, you know, things went off the rails. They had a power play in the first period, didn't capitalize, whatever. This game as well, that third period power play, it's like, all right, things aren't going well for the Blackhawks. They had an opportunity to tie the game to make it 3-3, and the power play can just get some sort of life if they would have scored there and maybe just gotten some momentum off of it. They didn't, and unfortunately, the Hawks lose in regulation 4-2.
Yeah, that was a tough one there for the Hawks for sure. The power play, I mean, it's still a problem, Charlie, and they've made some changes to it. I mean, it basically just seems like they really can't get it in the zone. That's been their main problem. And they had Sam Renzelen tonight. I know we've talked about why Kaiser, he still isn't on there, but it seems like they're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, the entries kind of resorted back to what they were a few games ago. I thought the entries had been better over the last couple games, ever since they had that practice to really work on it. I felt like the Hawks responded in Minnesota and Pittsburgh, at least from an entry standpoint. Tonight, I felt like they weren't as sharp. You know, there were a couple spurts. There were some, like, moments where the Hawks were finally able to get in, and then when they did, they have some offensive zone time. But it took them a while to actually get into the zone. And man, they've tinkered with everything. They've tinkered with power play quarterback,
yep,
with who's in the bumper, with switching Connor Bedard from the right faceoff circle to the left faceoff circle, from zone entries as far as, do they dump the puck in? Do they carry it in with speed with the drop back to the two players that are coming in? So they've tried a lot of things. At some point, the Hawks are going to break through. It's going to be one of those things where the Hawks are going to go like 3-for-8 on their next 8 power plays, and you're going to be like, well, where the heck was this? And it's just, that's just the way it goes in hockey. But it does feel like over the last couple games, there have been significant moments in games where it's like, man, if the Hawks can get a power play goal here, it could really change things, and they haven't been able to do it, and, you know, unfortunately, it hasn't gone Chicago's way. Now, we did see Sam Renzel, quarterback in the top power play unit, tonight because Artem Lefshov with a was a healthy scratch, which we'll get into in a little bit. You know, just a little bit of a reset for him. And, you know, I thought maybe that could add some life to the Blackhawks, just like a totally different look. Unfortunately, it didn't. I would really like to see Wyatt Kaiser quarterbacking one of the two power play units, whether it's the first, whether it's the second. Just feels like his confidence is so high right now, the way he's playing both offensively and defensively. I kind of throw the Pittsburgh game away because it was just a total one-off for him.
Yeah.
But Kaiser offensively, he's done it in college. He did it in college for a couple years under Derek Plant, who was a former Blackhawks assistant coach. So he has experience doing it. He just hasn't had a full-time opportunity to do it here in Chicago. I think he could change some, you know, change the feeling a little bit. But again, the Hawks, the problems lie a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying the power play quarterback situation is
the magic switch.
Exactly. It's just it would provide another look that they really haven't tried yet. Is, you know, 44 on the power play.
Yeah, yeah. I even noticed him. He's had a few good keep-ins, and he's been rock solid. Like him and Crevier have been really a really big bright spot for this team. It seems like you guys were talking. They've played a lot of hockey. They're on three games and four nights again, and it seemed like it took each period, except really the third, each period it took them like 10 minutes to really settle in. And I guess it's part of being a professional. They just got to kind of power through it right now. At least they have 2 days off before you have two more games. But
yeah,
it's funny that we talk about 2 days off being like a huge stretch because that's just how the season's been.
For sure. It is weird. Like tonight, I think, ended a 6-game in 9-days stretch for the Blackhawks. And next week, we're going to officially near the end of a stretch where coming out of the holiday break, the Blackhawks had 21 games in 40 days. And so, I mean, it's more than a game per day or every other day pace, mm-hmm. which it's twofold. The veterans need a rest and recharge because they're not that they're not used to playing this many games in such a short amount of time, but the Hawks have been dealing with some injuries and illnesses and stomach bugs. And it's like, they just haven't had a full, consistent lineup. They finally had a consistent lineup for two games.
Yeah.
Minnesota Wild and Pittsburgh Penguins. And then actually, I wouldn't even say the Pittsburgh Penguins.
No, it's just Foligno, 2 shifts. Yeah.
Yeah, just 2 shifts for Nick Foligno before he went down. And so they're just having a really hard time staying healthy within games, but also just having a full squad. And I think that's also played a role because it's been putting a strain on, you know, some extra players. And so the veterans need the rest and the recharge for when the Olympic break comes. But also the young players need it, too, because they're not used to playing this much hockey. Like a lot of guys, they're coming from college. You know, Frank Nazar and Artem Lefshinov was at Michigan State, and Sam Renzel, Oliver Moore, they played in college. They're used to playing like 40 games a year.
Yeah, I was going
to
say 40.
And it's essentially weekends. Like they only play weekend games, and then they have the whole week to rest, recharge, then play again.
Do school.
Yeah, school. Well, not sure how much athletes these days are learning, but
they're just getting NIL.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but it is a lot because now they're playing a full 82-game schedule, and it's not just an 82-game schedule in college. It's an 82-game schedule in the pros where mm-hmm. it's like the games are so much more demanding.
And the travel.
I mean, John just laid it out like that. He didn't fall asleep till 3 a.m. Which team was here the other night? The Florida Panthers. They were here the other night. They had the travel. It was the second of a back to back. They had the travel issues
and
coming
they had the
from 8 Minnesota.
Game.
Yeah, and they had the 8 o'clock game. They didn't get to their hotel room until 4:30 in the morning. So it's like, I mean, your body just gets so disrupted, and you're not dealing with that really in college or juniors like that level of inconsistency in your body and the schedule, and so. That's something that also that some of the younger players are trying to get used to. I mean, heck, this is honestly like this has been one of the more grinding seasons for me too, like mm-hmm. personally, because I'm like, I mean, it's like you have no time to like get air, like to come up for air, right? Like it's just like go. And I, you know, on some level, I actually like it because I'm like I love game every other day, right?
Yeah.
Like you're getting into the swing of things, but there it takes a toll where like your personal life kind of takes a backseat.
Oh yeah, I know what that's like.
Like there are days where I'm like I can't even find a 3-hour window just to do laundry. Right?
Yeah.
And now you think of some of these younger players, but who's laughing? Is that John? Is that Z? Who's laughing? Like now you think about some of these veterans that are married and have kids and that, you know, like have, they have to be present for their, you know, for their family as well. So it's hard. Like it, that, you know, I'm not trying to make excuses because every team in the NHL is dealing with it.
Right.
But if you're a team like Tampa Bay, if you're a team like Florida, if you're a team, if you're a veteran team that know that you, you can kind of just play 70% throughout the season, you're like, we don't care where we finish.
Gearing up for the playoffs.
Gearing up for the playoffs. It's a marathon. Like we know what level our gas tank needs to be for us to be fresh for the playoffs. Like they've done it. I mean, we saw the 2009, the Blackhawks of the dynasty era.
Yeah.
Every time they were winning Stanley Cups, they would go into the next regular season. Like we don't care if they're the eighth seed. Like we just want to get in.
Yeah.
And we have the confidence to beat anyone. Like the these Blackhawks, they don't, they haven't experienced any of that yet, and they're still trying to work towards building that kind of culture. So yeah, the games, the 21 games in 40 days and just the compact schedule because of the Olympic break, it takes a toll. And so, you know, no surprise that the Hawks are kind of maybe hitting a little bit of a wall here. And I would not be surprised if the Blackhawks came out of the Olympic break and they were humming again. Because it feels like the Hawks, that's what they did coming
Christmas
out of the three, yeah, coming out of the three-day Christmas break. They like started rolling again. It's like they needed that. They just needed that little bit of a refresh to mentally and physically take a breath.
Yeah, especially with all these young guys, your head might be spinning a little bit because it's just like you're learning the NHL, and then it's like, oh, I'm in Pittsburgh, I'm in Chicago, then you're in Vancouver, and then you're all over the place. So it's hard to settle in, and I think that's kind of why Artem Levchinov's getting this reset, and we can kind of recap what we talked about before the game, that Jeff Blashill said he's going to take a reset, and we don't know if it's going to be through these next two games that they have left, and he won't play until the Olympic break, or if it's just going to be tonight, and then he's got 2 days off, and he's back Monday. It's kind of up in the air, but you talked about in the pregame, he's played in, what, five different teams in the last 3 years or something like that, so it's been hard for him to adjust, and now he's kind of they're kind of giving him a breather to try to help him out.
Yeah, Levchinov's game was starting to trail off a little bit over the last couple games, and then the Pittsburgh game happened, and he was a minus five rating, and it was probably one of his tougher nights of the season. And I think that was, it provided a perfect opportunity for the Blackhawks to say, all right, let's remove him from the lineup. Let's let him sit. Let's let him watch video. Let's let him practice. And yeah, we talked about it in the pregame show. He's played in five different leagues over the last 2.5 years. He played in Belarus. He played in the USHL. He played in NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
He played in the AHL, and he's played in the NHL. And we also talked about it in the pregame show as well. Jeff Blashill had such a great quote earlier in the season, and he was like, you know, I have a son that's in high school. He's like, if I dropped him into Moscow right now, how do you think he would do, let alone play in, like, the best league in the world? And he's just talking about just as a human. So you have Artem Leshinov that's trying to navigate his way in North America without family, without friends.
In a top three city,
in a really big city. Yeah, it's like, it's not a quiet market where you can go to Florida and, you know, you can kind of just, you know, decompress a little bit. That there's no, not that the media market here is, but it's a big, like the fans,
look at the arena.
The arena, we have 20,000 plus here in the building tonight. And, you know, the fans want winning hockey again. And so there maybe is a little bit of a pressure on him too. So you have that aspect where he's played five different leagues in a 2.5. That's a lot of leagues, and you want to make sure that each player is hitting each league, and they've graduated from that league because that you know that okay that they're no longer they're good enough for that league now. Let's get them to the next one, and so I think the Hawks need to make sure that they're not bouncing him from league to league to league too fast, and so the Hawks identified okay maybe he's in over his head just a little bit. Rather than sending him down to Rockford, the Hawks are going to just take a step back, and they're going to say, okay, let's work with him on a more one-on-one basis. I'm not sure how many games he's going to get, if he is going to get any games.
Seemed kind of up in the air, yeah.
It did seem up in the air. Seemed like non-committal. I honestly wouldn't mind if the Hawks went back to the 11 forward, 7 defenseman scheme. Like, it worked really well for the Blackhawks earlier in the season, and it was actually Artem Levchinov that was kind of the driver of it too, because he had the first couple games of the year, the Florida Boston game, I thought he struggled. He was a healthy scratch in the home opener,
right?
And that was a big deal because it was a home opener, right? Like you're trying to sell like new era, Jeff Blashill's in, you know,
you have a ton of young guys on the opening night,
roster, and then here's your number two overall pick who's a healthy scratch. I was like, well, that's not ideal, right? So how do you work with that, right? And so the Hawks were like, all right, maybe let's just go with seven defensemen. Louis Crevier, who has become the most one of the most dependable defensemen on the Blackhawks, now a top pairing guy, he was the healthy scratch in those first two games, and then he drew back into the lineup, and the Hawks were like, all right, Crevier will put in the defensive zone responsibilities. Lefshinov will give him the offensive zone responsibilities, and it worked beautifully because then you had guys like Connor Bedard, Frank Nazar, Teravainen, and all these players that were, you know, getting the extra ice time, right? And so it worked out perfectly. And then, unfortunately, Sam Renzel hit a little bit of a wall, so they sent him down to the minors. But that was at the same time as Lefshinov really hitting his stride and then Crevier just bursting onto the scene as an everyday player. And so, you know, no surprise that the Hawks ended up going in the way that they did. But, feels like for Chicago, they probably should explore going 11 forwards and 7 defensemen again. However, I do agree with Lefshinov kind of sitting for a few games and just kind of reassess where he's at, but also coming out of the Olympic break. I didn't want the Blackhawks to send him down to Rockford for the Olympic break because he's played a lot of hockey.
Yeah.
Even last year. It would just stack up too many. And even last year, I don't know if you remember this, that he got off to a tough start because he couldn't play in the rookie showcase because he was injured.
That's right.
So he had the training camp that was missed. So he starts the year in Rockford. Then during the AHL All-Star break, he gets called up by the Blackhawks, and he's practicing with the team for several games.
I forgot
about
that.
So he never got that rest. Yeah. And then he makes it to the NHL. He gets called up, plays in the NHL, I think, for like 19 games. And then after the NHL season ended, he gets sent back to Rockford to go play in the playoff games. And so it was a lot of hockey for him. He never got that opportunity to just rest and recharge. So I agree with the Blackhawks' decision to, rather than send him to Rockford, just get to the Olympic break, just healthy scratch him for a couple games, let him take a little bit of a reset, work with him one-on-one, and get to the Olympic break and let him get away from hockey just for a little bit so he can come back to the rink refreshed. And then you can decide what you want to do with him. Then if the Hawks come back from the Olympic break and they're like, let's send him down to Rockford, great.
Regain the confidence.
Going,
yeah.
But at least he got that rest beforehand. Or, you know, maybe the Hawks decide coming out of the Olympic break, they're going to go with 11 forwards and 7 defensemen, which they might have to because coming out of the Olympic break, the trade deadline is going to be right around the corner. And if Connor Murphy, Matt Grizzlick, if they're pending UFAs, if they get moved, well, I don't know if
he's
going to
be here. Yeah.
I don't know if you can send Lefshinov to Rockford because you literally need bodies at the NHL level to fill those voids potentially. So a conversation for a different day, but just bigger, larger scale thinking when I think of how to handle Lefshinov.
Yeah, the more we talk through this, it seems like it would just be ideal. He just takes it into the Olympic break and gets that rest. Last thing for this segment, Sam Renzel. I mean, there wasn't really much really this whole game till the third period, but nothing, at least to me, stood out in the negative. And he played the most among defensemen tonight, too, on the ice. So he was out there a bunch in his first game since December 7th in the NHL.
Yeah, the one thing I noticed about him tonight was he just looked like he was skating with confidence, which is a great sign. Like, step number one, right? I wasn't expecting him to be driving
3 points,
logging 30 minutes of ice time, and he's got 9 shot attempts. Mm-hmm. He played north of 22 minutes of ice time. He had 3 shots on goal, and he had 4 block shots, which was tied for the team lead. So, good first step for him. And he had a tough one because Hawks are playing on the second of a back-to-back, so he gets called up. He probably got the phone call last night, so then he gets to Rockford earlier today, or he gets to Chicago earlier today, but there's no morning skate, right? Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have an opportunity.
Kind of thrown into it.
Exactly. So I thought it was a solid performance by him, and I imagine he'll look more comfortable on Monday when the Hawks are able to get an off day tomorrow, return to practice Sunday, and then, you know, morning skate on Monday, and then they can get right back at it.
Yeah, do the normal things there. Yeah, I think it was a good step forward, and hopefully he can take what he learned from Rockford. And he told us he was working on, or he told you and John he was working on his defensive game. So hopefully that took a step forward. Blackhawks lose to the Blue Jackets 4-2. I think Charlie will be in and out the rest of the show.
Yeah, let's stick around.
Yeah, so we'll tag team the rest of the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. I think we have sound rolling in, so we'll get to some of that coming up next. You're listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.
Bertuzzi in the corner, stopping on a dime there with nine. Put it to the high slot. Vlasic fires, and that's blocked by Jenner. Vlasic got it back, fires again. Stopped in front. Rebound, score! Connor Bedard! With 2.7 seconds left on the clock, he ties the score at one. And for Connor Bedard, that's goal number 22 on the season. 1-1 the score.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling, Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Meliotis, but he's sticking around for the rest of this postgame. That was Connor Bedard's goal, 22nd. He had 2 points, starting to pick up where he left off pre-injury. But he, I think he's still frustrated about that open net that he missed at the end of the game there. We'll hear from him in a second. But now it's time for tonight's Ice Time, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. It was Connor Bedard leading the way at 22:54 of Ice Time. He was out there a bunch, especially in that third period, getting out there and trying to help get the Blackhawks to come back, but they fall 4-2 to the Blue Jackets. And then Sam Renzel on the defensive side, 22:18 of ice time, leading the way for the Blackhawks blue liners in his first game since December 7th. And those are the two guys that talked after the game. Let's hear from number 98, Connor Bedard, after this one.
This has got to feel like a bit of a broken record for you. How do you get out of it?
Just kind of clean things up a bit. It's a hard league, so just figure out ways to win.
It seemed like you, Frank, and Tyler had pretty good chemistry tonight. Did it feel like you guys kind of had that right from the jump?
Yeah, I think as the game went on, we got better and better. Obviously you got a couple goals and gives you a little energy and confidence. So thought we got some looks and played well, so hopefully build off that.
Feel like it was a better effort than last night?
I thought we definitely played better, especially after the first. We didn't have that kind of period that we did last night where you give up 4 or 5, but end of the day, results the same.
It's nice for Frank to get one after all he's been through.
Yeah, it's always nice to score, so obviously for him to get first one coming back from injury and get that off your back kind of is nice.
Are you feeling better than you did when you came back?
Game by game, I guess. Yeah.
What's the feeling with the power play? It's been a while since you guys scored.
Probably what you'd expect. Frustrating, so try to figure that out.
Is that chance there at the kind of open net towards the end still kind of replaying in your mind?
Yeah.
All right, there's Connor Bedard after this one. You could tell not happy with the way it went there, Charlie. Pretty fiery a little bit.
Yeah, it felt like you can sense the frustration in his voice. I actually thought he handled that pretty well.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you could fear the emotion, but he did it in, like, a respectful way.
The listener has to put this into perspective, too. This isn't like the NBA where guys get, like, 45 minutes to decompress and put on their suit, and then they go to the podium. I mean, this is, like, 7 minutes after.
We have the post game on. And it was very quick after I saw him on there.
It's essentially, I mean, it's 5 to 7 minutes after the game ends. And so it's hard to let your emotions settle. Like, you just have no time to do so. And so I thought Connor actually did a pretty good job of making sure that he was being respectful of the questions, but also communicating that he was very frustrated by I shouldn't say the performance, because he played well. The team was, again, so-so, just frustrated by the result.
Yeah.
But also, you know, the missed open net there at the end. I know he holds himself to a very high standard, so no surprise that he, is going to be stewing on this one.
Yeah, I like that, that doesn't sit right. You want your stars to be striving for greatness, and, I mean, that's definitely what Connor Bedard does.
100%, yeah. I'd want to go in the trenches with him, for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I'm normally in the locker room, and just how quick they are, most of the time they're still sweating from being out there. It's not like they towel off or get their clothes, like you said. It's they're just putting on a T-shirt and shorts and then a hat and maybe, and the cameras are on them.
Yeah, they're literally like still packing up the equipment. I mean,
most of the time,
like,
yeah,
like they're still like getting
at least the goalie.
Off.
Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, that's Connor's been playing well though. Like in the last three games, I think
it's a bright spot.
Yeah, we've seen him look more like the Bedard that we were used to seeing him pre shoulder injury. Great to see him score in back to back games. I mean, even the pass that he made on Frank Nate. I mean, his line was sensational.
Yeah.
So they were really good. But from the second period and on, specifically, I thought they were really good. But that's an encouraging element of tonight's game, is that 98 looked like 98 again. 91 looked like 91 again. Bertuzzi was humming again. So I'm not worried about them. I think if that line does what they did again, like they'll be able to lead Chicago back into the win column pretty soon.
Yeah, and part of putting those guys together is to try to get them going too. I think we talked about that in Blackhawks Live. So
right.
that was good to see. All right, Sam Rinzel, first game back since December 7th. Let's hear what the young defenseman had to say after this one.
How'd you go in your first game back?
Yeah, felt good. Legs felt pretty decent, so yeah, felt pretty good.
What takeaways did you have from your time in Rockford?
You know, a lot of things. Just kind of the big part is kind of the defensive aspect of the game, and then I think just, you know, part of it's realizing that 90% of the game is just 50-50 shifts, and, you know, it's just about winning those 50-50 shifts. So, yeah, nothing has to be flashy or crazy. It's, I think, just learning to play with my brain and to kind of use my brain to beat guys and whatever it may be. So,
do you feel like a better player now than when you went down 2 months ago?
Yeah, 100%. I think my defensive game is actually grown a lot. Just kind of the awareness side of it and kind of the D-zone side of it, just kind of not letting pucks get through me. So.
The power play's mostly struggled, kind of leading up to your return here. What do you think you can do, kind of get them back on track?
Make plays, right? Yeah, just wherever it may be, you know, I want to make plays and whatever it may be. So, you know, if that's, they think I can help there, that's my goal. So, you know, just, I want to help this team win, and that's the goal. So.
All right, Sam Rinzel, after this one, you could tell he does sound a little more confident, but I think you could tell he's frustrated that they didn't win.
Yeah, he's a very confident guy.
Yeah.
Even in the interview that John and I did in the first intermission, you know, we were saying, like John asked him a question about how Columbus has a lot of big forwards, and he's like, well, I'm pretty big too. I can handle up my own as well. And so I love Sam Rinzel's confidence, and you know, I've had conversations with him about that specifically, and he's always been a guy that's seems like his confidence is unwavering. Now, certainly, obviously, maybe took a little bit of a hit after his play declined a little. That had the Blackhawks send him to Rockford to kind of regain not really his confidence, more just the way he plays, like just have confidence in the game that you play. And so it was good to see him back up here and play well. I thought he played well tonight.
Yeah, good stepping stone there for Sam Rinzel. All right, we'll hear from Jeff Blashill coming up next here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. You're listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. Blackhawks lose to the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-2 here at the UC. Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Romeliotis, but Charlie's sticking around here for the rest of the postgame show. Tough one here for the Hawks, 4-2, five-game winless skid for Chicago. Let's hear what head coach Jeff Blashill had to say after this one.
What's the thing that troubles you the most right now on this team?
I don't look at it that way at all, to be honest with you. That's not sure that's a prudent way to look at things. All we look at is what we did well, what we didn't do well, how we can grow and get better. That's the only thing that we look at, to be dead honest with you. So we'll continue to do that, you know. And if I looked at tonight's game, you know, I think we do more of the second half, and that's when we're a successful team. And I thought we weren't very good until kind of, you know, we ended up having the goalie interference challenge. We killed that penalty. I thought we were really good after that. I thought we were the better team. So I think the scoring chances were 12-2 the second half of the game. So for me, I don't look at it, you know, I don't look at it. I look at it as real as I can, and whatever we did poorly and can correct, we work on that, and whatever we did well, we emphasize that.
What'd you make of how you guys responded in today's second period compared to how yesterday went?
Yeah, no, obviously, you know, every game kind of has a life of its own. You know, again, you know, we've gone through a back-to-back journey that was really poor early, and we've been way better lately on these. You know, it's an interesting schedule that you're playing this many at home when the other team's sitting here, like, that's probably not the best business model, but that's neither here nor there. Everybody has back-to-backs. Everybody's going to have this similar back-to-backs, just from a business model. It doesn't always make sense to me. But that's neither here nor there. So I think we've gotten way better at understanding how to play in them. It's part of the growth process. You know, again, I thought we were the better team the second half of the game. Now, they, you know, credit to them. They're playing well. Bones hasn't playing well. They're a big, strong team. They got speed. They got a little bit of everything, and they're doing a good job. So certainly, you know, part of it is I think they kind of clamped down the second half of the game, but I thought we pushed pretty good.
What do you think of Renzel?
I thought Sam played good. You know, I thought he played good. I thought he had an impact skating and moving the puck, and with you know, less kind of big errors than maybe when he left. And I think that's something we talked about, just being, making sure that, you know, at the end of the day, you gotta judge the positives versus the minuses. And it's really hard if you have a whole bunch of minuses. And I thought today, outside of maybe one decision on a kind of a late kind of step in the O zone, I thought he played well.
When you look at the power play, is there a component missing right now? Is there some type of player or person reason why it's so extended?
I wouldn't say that. I would say we have the components to be good. You know, power plays are fickle. Like, you get confidence and you start really going, and right now it doesn't have confidence, obviously. And, you know, I mean, if there was a big kind of overbearing, not lesson, but reality is when you lose a special teams battle, it's really hard to win, and we lost a special teams battle. You know, will I take some of the chances we got? Yes. Certainly the chance from Bedsy to Frankie is an unbelievable save by Elvis. Like, it's unreal traffic and sick save, but that's going to happen sometimes. So, you know, we just got to continue to find ways for this group to gain chemistry. Certainly, I think our breakouts have not been good enough. That's probably the drop breakout is an area that either we got to switch the breakout or be better at the drop, one of the two.
There's head coach Jeff Blashill after this one. You can tell frustrated, Charlie, really quick, but been pretty honest last past few days.
Yeah, breakouts on the power play is something that he kind of highlighted yet again. You know, we were talking about the zone entries. That's been an area of concern, but, man, I just think that power play in the third period, if the Hawks capitalize there, power play loosens up, starts to feel good. It's a game-tying goal. Building would get energized. Maybe the Hawks get a point out of it because it goes into overtime, and, you know, unfortunately they weren't able to capitalize there. But, again, I wouldn't be surprised if the floodgates opened on the power play as soon as they get the next one.
Yeah, hopefully that's next game here on Monday. Real quick before we take a break, it's time now for a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer. In tonight's game with the Brantford Bulldogs, Merrick Van Acker, once again, in the middle of it, he recorded an assist, and that was his 100th career assist in the OHL. So congrats to Merrick Van Acker, having a great season with the Brantford Bulldogs. All right, we'll wrap up the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame next on 720 WGN. Wrapping up the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show here on 720 WGN. Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Meliotis, who's on the call with John Weideman. Columbus Blue Jackets come into the UC and beat the Blackhawks 4-2. Unfortunately, here on a 5-game winless skid here for the Blackhawks, but as we've talked about at length here on this postgame show, they have 2 days off here. Well, they're going to practice on Sunday, but they have an off day tomorrow after the back-to-back. Practice Sunday, game Monday, and then probably a practice Tuesday, and then they're going to Columbus on Wednesday to wrap up, I guess you could say, the pre-Olympic break next Wednesday before they're off for 2.5 games. And it's weird. Monday night's game is the last home game for the Blackhawks until March 6th. So that's what happens when you have an Olympic break. Now it's time for tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. And it's the San Jose Sharks coming in to the UC. First meeting this season. These two teams haven't met yet. I think first of three meetings. It'll be Connor Bedard versus Macklin Celebrini. So the UC should be rocking for that one. San Jose's been pretty good this season, above the Blackhawks in the standings. I think they're in the last wild card spot. These are two young teams that a lot of fans like to talk about on social media, about who has the better core moving forward. San Jose is 1 point out of the last wild card spot behind the Anaheim Ducks, and they're 7 points ahead of the Blackhawks. So when you play those teams directly in front of you, you can gain some ground if the Hawks can get 2 points, and they're hoping to do that on Monday night. And our coverage starts at 7 o'clock. Charlie will be back in the pre, post, and intermission chair with Steve coming back, and then the puck drop here on 720 at 7:30. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Plumbers, or sponsored by Sitco. Score savings on every fill up with Club Sitco. Download the app to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Big thanks to everyone involved with our broadcast tonight. Back at the station at WGN, our producer was Eli Burke, doing it once again, helping me out here. Back at the station, and our engineer, the great Krista Flores, doing a great job keeping us on air, as she always does. Here at the UC, our engineer was the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang, and our reporter Tony DeNardis filling in for me, doing a great job as always. Charlie Meliotis and John Weidman brought you the call of Blackhawks and Blue Jackets, which saw a 4-2 win for the Blue Jackets. I've been Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie. We'll talk to you on Monday night from the UC.